Can you hear it above the noise? Beyond the noise of Black Friday and the extension of Cyber Monday, can you hear it? Or is it still cacophony? I remember many a time I'd leave a sporting event, either as an athlete, as the player, the coach, or the what he calls people in the stands? Fans, spectators, yeah. You can tell I do that a lot. I'm usually coaching, reffing, or playing. But I get home and my ears are still ringing from all the noise. I remember I used to go to women's basketball because I coached women's basketball or high school. And I come home late, 11 o'clock Saturday night, and my ears were still ringing Sunday morning. I said, how do people do this? You know, there's this, you know, in your head. But that's what happens in our culture, doesn't it? There's so much noise that we have to get quiet, to rise above the noise so we can hear what's being said. And it's hard to hear what's being said when we're not even listening. That's a whole nother story. You can't see nothing when you close your eyes, and you can't hear nothing when you close your eyes. But do you hear the pleasant sounds of Christmas, or do you hear the negative sounds of Christmas? The bickering, the fighting, the I didn't get what I wanted, or this costs too much, or it's not enough. Whatever sounds you hear, hopefully the song that we sang this morning will help us kind of focus a little more. Do you hear what I hear? I find it fascinating how recent this one was. The odds of Gloria Shane and Noel Regney coming together were long at best, yet somehow, although born worlds apart, a Frenchman and American found each other in the middle of the world's busiest city and eventually teamed up to create a Christmas song that was truly inspired. Noel grew up in Europe with a deep love for music. As a young man, his effort to create new classical compositions was interrupted by the outbreak of World War II. Forced into Nazi army, Regney soon escaped to his native France and joined a group of resistance fighters instead of writing peaceful music. He spent the rest of the war fighting to bring peace back to France. After the war, it was music that brought Noel to the United States, and in the late 50s, he wandered in New York's Beverly Hotel. There, in the luxurious dining room, he saw this beautiful woman playing popular music on the piano. Oh boy, I know what's going to happen here. Though he spoke very little English, Noel was so thralled that he boldly introduced himself to Gloria Shane. Within a month, the man who spoke rudimentary English and the woman who didn't understand French got married. Chez la femme, no? Sorry for those who don't know French. Anyway, on the surface, Noel and Gloria's union was very unique. What could an American woman determine to write rock and roll music and a Frenchman in the States record classic music have in common? Yet it was... Music, yes. Yet it would take the marriage of both their skill and insight as well as their cultures and experience to create a song that would cause millions around the world to stop, look, and listen. By 1962, Noel had mastered English and been completely exposed to the world of American popular music, thanks in large part to Gloria's writing a huge rock and roll hit, Teen Idol, sung by James Darren. Anybody remember that song? Do you want to start humming it? She also cut Goodbye Cruel World and took that number to the top of the charts. As her career took off, Gloria's passion for writing magnified. She spent hours each day at the piano beating out new material. Noel, on the other hand, was fighting the depression that brought on by flashbacks to his own days as a Nazi soldier and then as a resistance fighter, coupled with the news he saw daily each day about the war in Vietnam. Noel sought out something that would bring him peace of mind in an effort to put his pain into perspective. He turned back to the one moment in time when he felt the Lord had given men a chance to live life without hate, fear, or conflict. Picking up a pen, Regney wrote a poem about the first Christmas. Fighting through some of the most difficult moments he had ever faced, Noel pushed away the nightmarish moments of World War II, the news from Vietnam, and the current tensions between USSR and the United States pushing toward another war through the Cold War. As he concentrated on the events leading up to the birth of Jesus, the world around him grew strangely quiet. His memories took Noel back to a scene of shepherd walking through a peaceful green field of his native France. He considered the innocence of the newborn lamb. This was a creature whose spirit man should emulate, an animal that surely the Creator himself had touched in a very powerful and profound way. Those thoughts of the lamb and a child who might have cared for it inspired Noel to write a poem that not only described peace on earth, but which also spoke of peace on that came to earth on the first Christmas night. Quoting, when finished, Glory went on to say, Noel gave it to me and asked me to write the music. He said he wanted me to do it because he didn't want the song to have too much classical tones to it. I read over and over the lyrics, then went shopping. I was going to Bloomingdale's when I thought of the first music line. We know to go Bloomingdale's for thoughts, music, huh? When Gloria returned home, she discovered that she had inserted an extra note in her melody. Now, I've written 50 songs. It's just, you know how that is. This is not fitting. So you squeeze it, you put a puff, and it doesn't work. So she went to her husband and said, we need to do something here. The melody just doesn't fit. You have a beautiful melody, and I don't want to ruin it. So quoting, said the wind to the little lamb became said the night wind to the little lamb. Said the night wind to the... And not only did this additional keep the music intact, but the imagery of God speaking on the wind became even more wondrous. Yet when Gloria asked him to change one more little line in the verse, he balked. Know that feeling, nothing personal, know the feeling. Quoting, I told him that no one in the country would understand tail as big as a kite, Gloria explained, yet he wouldn't change that. As it turned out, he was right. It is a line that people dearly love, end quote. The couple took the finished song to Regent Publishers Company, owned by the brothers' famed for big band, Benny Goodman. It was one of New York's best music houses, with Noel singing and Gloria playing. The music made its professional debut. Within minutes, Regent had contracted Harry Simone? I remember the name? I remember the guy. I didn't remember how to spell his name now. It was his hit. It was his group that had a score of a huge Christmas hit 4 years before with Little Drummer Boy. Simone wanted to hear the song right away. Since the couple didn't have a demo, Gloria recalled that this created a major problem. Quoting, Noel couldn't play and sing at the same time. And I had to play for a commercial. I couldn't break my date. So he went on by himself. When he got home, he told me that he had botched it up. End quote. Gloria and Noel had every reason to believe, do you hear what I hear, would not be recorded. Even if Regney had performed perfectly the song for Simone, since David Seville's comical Chipmunks had already recently scored a novelty Christmas number, it seemed that no one was looking for spiritual holiday songs. Both were shocked when, a few days later, Harry Carell called, recorded their touching work with plans to release it as a single. Quoting, Noel hadn't had much success in his classical career, Gloria recalled. As he wanted to do something meaningful and beautiful in this song, he did. End quote. The couple could not have dared imagine how effective Do You Hear What I Hear would have on the nation. At the height of the Cold War, millions like Noel were yearning for peace and hope. The carol's combination of words and music powerfully voiced their prayers. In 1963, Do You Hear What I Hear became a Christmas standard when it was recorded by Bing Crosby. It was sung by church choirs, became an integral part of television specials, and inspired numerous magazines' first features and even Christmas sermons. So, the hands of the woman who composed the music have now been silenced by an operation that keeps her from playing her piano anymore. Noel, whose past experiences brought the words to life, recently had a stroke. He can no longer speak, much less sing. Yet thanks to the song that brought both Gloria and Noel to the spotlight, the message of peace on earth, goodwill towards all, found its way, touching millions of lives each year. It's a little interesting background on that. I just like that. Anybody else like that stuff? Is it boring to you? I kind of enjoy that. So, an emergency. It's going to be snowing later. Okay, thank you. So, above the noise and the Black Friday specials and the swirl of Cyber Monday, can you hear the noise of Christmas, or the sound of Christmas? Rise above the noise, hear what the angels and the shepherds are saying. I was reading several books this week, and one book, the pastor was talking about, or it's probably a blog, not a book, but anyway, pastor was talking about getting bored with doing Christmas stuff, and he tried something dramatic and different. Then he realized that just do the same stuff, but because it's got its own drama. And so we're going to look at this morning I know this already, and that's cool. But some of us, I want us to look at with fresh eyes and to definitely hear with fresh ears. Okay? So if you haven't found Luke chapter 2 yet, you need to find Luke in your Bibles, chapter 2. We're taking the second half. We're going to come back next Sunday and focus more some of the passage. But this Sunday, we're going to focus on just the overall movement of it. Verse 8 goes on to say, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord," not the angel of the Lord, "but an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them," kind of like a spotlight, "and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people," not just for you guys, but for everybody. "Today in the town of David has been born to you, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord," or Messiah the Lord. "This is how you will know him. The sign will be assigned to you to find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Now, you discovered last week with me that the swaddling cloths were not the sign, because all newborn babies had that. But what was the sign? Help me. Lying in a manger. That was the sign. A newborn baby in a cow feeding trough, and it wasn't cleaned out? Yes. Right? The CDC, somebody be there, health organizations or whatever, they'd be there. You know, OSHA. child abuse, put the child in dangerous and harm's way, everybody be there. But the Lord put it right there where he wanted them. And we got to hear what the angels are saying. And the angels are saying something rather fascinating here. "Don't be afraid, first and foremost, to the shepherds." A lot of people are afraid. I've been reading a lot about the people that are buying the global warming stuff. And you have 12 years, now 11 years to live, right? Do anybody remember how long it was when Gore first started this? We have 2 years left according to his. And when they did it in the 70s, we started to be melted, right? Okay, so just telling you, you know, there's a lot of evidence that the world does have different things. Jim found an article a number of years back about that great Indonesian earthquake that rocked the earth. And because it rocked the earth, guess what starts to happen to our culture, our climate? It changes. Because the earth's rocking, it gets cold and hot. Now, it's not rocking that fast, obviously. Okay? And when Danny told me a couple months ago that true north is no longer true north, and the Polaris star's not in the north, what does that tell you? The earth is rocked. And so the earth is changing. Now, whether it's man-made or not, you know, it's a whole other ballgame. Can we add to it? But don't be afraid. Because even if the world is ending, we need Jesus, right? So don't be afraid. And notice what he says here, the rest of the good news, okay? And he gives particular details. Don't be afraid. I know we freaked you out because we're from another plane, if you will, or another dimension. Okay? And he says real simply, oh, and the glory of the Lord, I can't forget that. There's bright light, heavy white light. And they were terrified. But the angel, verse 10 said, the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy." Talk about mega joy, okay? "That will be for all people, not just for a select group of people, but for everybody." This is good news. So we don't have to be afraid of what's going on around us. And at this time, the Roman Empire was terrorizing the world. They were a police state. They could take anything anybody they wanted. And, of course, women were raped, men were robbed, and inscripted, as this gentleman was, inscripted in the Nazi army. In that day, they were inscripted in the Roman army. So there's much to be fearful, but they were given good news because today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. Baby's already been born, okay? A Savior. We need a Savior. And the word Christ is also Messiah, which both mean anointed one. He's the anointed one. He's anointed prophet, priest, and king. He's the anointed one to save his people. Okay? And it calls him Lord. For a Jewish person to call somebody Lord, what does that mean? Yeah, he's got to be way big because the Jewish people only believe in one God. So something's going on here. That Jesus is more than just a man, just a baby, if you will. Something way bigger. And then he gave him a sign. The angel gave him a sign. We talked about that already. Lying in a dirty stall. And I like this here, how the angels got together. You read that in verse 13 with me? "Suddenly, a great company, a host of heavenly hosts, a huge number of angels can't be numbered, appeared with the one angel, praising God and saying," and the word for praising is to speak out glory and to speak good of somebody. And I want to point this out. You ready for this? Okay, going to crush somebody's traditions. What are the angels doing? They're saying, they're not singing. And oftentimes we're told they're singing. And it's right there. I can't change the Greek word for you. And you know what the Greek word is for speak, by the way? You ready? Lego. Yep. So you can Lego my ego, and you can play with Legos. And so now you know Lego means to speak in Greek. But they're speaking glory to God in the highest. This awesome God, he gets all the spotlight, all the shine, all the glory. The other day we were at Olive Garden. And this happened twice in two different restaurants. And the sun just popped around and right in my face. And it blinded me. I had that dot. You know the dot? You can't see without, you know, I close your eyes, supposed to go away. It didn't go away. So I asked them to close the drapes. But that's the kind of light we're talking about. It's the light when you come out of a movie theater, and you, whoa, and brighter yet. It's brighter than the sun, but they're at night, so you can't tell that. But here it is here. The angels are saying, glory to God in the highest, the Most High God. And here's the kicker. And on earth, peace. To men, goodwill. There's different translations to fight over this little verse here. But what's fascinating to me is it's a Hebrew parallelism. And it's real simple to me, but everybody else makes it so difficult. But it's real simple. The Lord God is saying, I mean peace to you guys. I'm not angry with you. I'm bringing you peace. And a lot of us have angry parents. We don't get that. And then we picture God always angry at us. It's not this. We all know John 3:16, or most of us do. And we saw that in the video I opened up with. But verse 17 says something really cool. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. And he could, because Jesus is perfect. He could have came down as judge. Here's how it is, boys. You know, take them out. But no, he didn't do that. He said not to condemn the world, but through him you might be saved. God has goodwill toward men. He's not angry at them as some gods are. Some religions out there have an angry God, and we've witnessed it for the last 10 years. And their followers are angry. Yep, didn't want to say that out loud, but that's exactly right. You get what I'm saying, though? But our God's not angry. And the proof of his lack of anger is sending his son Jesus. He says, I wish peace to you guys. I will peace. Peace. Peace is a real cool word in Hebrew more than Greek. Greek is the word of just absence of conflict. But in Hebrew, it's shalom. We said that earlier. And in shalom, it comes from the word to fix your bow, to bow your bow. So you got a bow, otherwise like it's a stick, Jim says. But you got a stick, right? And you take the string, and you drag the string along the top, and it bends, and you get it hooked up in a little slot, and it becomes a curve. That's called peace, or shalom. It's complete, and it's held in tension. It's dynamic tension. So you have peace in the midst of all this hustle and bustle. There's this dynamic tension of peace in you. And Jesus said, I give you peace, not as the world gives, give I unto you. My shalom, my peace. And he is the Prince of Peace. So he is our peace. And he comes into us and he's at peace because he has goodwill. He's not angry. And that took years to get that out of my head. I had these vivid moments of a certain parent getting mad at me. Actually, both of them. My mom was 4'11", and we're Italian, right? You can tell that by my blue eyes and blonde hair. But my mother would do this. She'd bite her hand, and she'd do that. And then she'd speak in Italian to me, which I'd not repeat because it's not nice. And then she'd hit the refrigerator. She'd hit the wall. I'm sure glad she wasn't hitting me. But that was my picture, you know? And the few times, my dad and I and my mom all worked this out before they died. But they were mad. I remember once I had a ladder leaning and it fell against the brand new car. Yep, I remember that. And my dad, and he threw the ladder. And then he did other things. But that was my image of God. God was always angry. And then the Catholics didn't help any. I was brought up Catholic. And I remember Sister Mary Eloise, when you're about to sin, the Holy Father's reaching down in his bucket next to the throne to grab a lightning rod to throw at you. But Jesus died for you. And he's going to say, no, Father, I died for that sin. And I'm going, I hope Jesus gets there in time. that was the image I had. That was the image I had. But here the Bible teaches real clearly, glory to God in the highest, the Most High God, on earth peace, to men goodwill. God is not angry at us. It is goodwill because he's the Prince of Peace. That's what the angels are telling us. Did you hear that? What are the shepherds saying? What are the shepherds saying? In short, then we're done with that. Let's close and go home. Okay, verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds had said to one another, hey, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Woohoo! So verse 16. So they what? hurried off. Some of you need to practice hurried, okay? They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. There's the sign, verse 17. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed, and all the shepherds said to them, "Woo, Mary, that's cool." But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds went about, and we'll read that next. Yeah, I get to see this one now. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Isn't that cool? Notice they were talking to each other, self-talk. They weren't complaining. They weren't talking about their fear. They weren't telling how cool that angel was. "Did you see that aura, man?" No, they didn't do any of that. "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that we've just been told, that the Lord had told them through the angel." Notice they didn't mention the angels here. The Lord told them this. I always enjoy gossip when it's in an echo chamber. Years ago, when I was a severe paranoid, I would test people, and I had a memory back then where I could remember what I told to what person. I'd give them so much information that if it got out, I knew who said it. Does that make sense? So this person, I would tell one thing of the story. I would tell the same story, but I'd add something, and I'd tell the third story, something third, and I knew if it got out, which group got it. So it was really fun. So one of the groups I figured out, and I went to that group, and I asked them, "Where'd you hear this?" And they said, "I heard it from so-and-so." So I went to so-and-so. "Where'd you hear it from?" "I heard it from the other so-and-so." So it was an echo chamber. They're just going back and forth. They weren't talking to anybody outside their little group. They're talking to each other. And it was amazing how that story got involved. It just got so involved. I don't want to give you details, but it was kind of fun that suddenly there's just a whole different story. It's like the telephone that you guys play. You know, you try to tell somebody. That's the echo chamber of gossip. But these guys were doing a positive echo chamber. "Look what these great things are. Wow, let's go check this out." And they checked it out. And notice what happened after that. They found it. Just as it was said. So they hurried off. And I like the word hurried. It means with eagerness. And it's Wayne when he's leaving for Children's Church. There's no better example, right? Woo-hoo-woo. Beep, beep. You know, yeah, yeah. That's the eagerness of this word hurried. They hurried off because they knew it was going to be there. And you've been there. This just happened yesterday. I can't believe it. Kathy comes home. I was going to go watch my son-in-law lives on the corner, Bethany, my middle daughter. They live on the corner of Shoshone and Patterson. And they greet all the bikers yesterday when they do the toy run. And they had a friend that was in it. And Kathy said, "Well, they haven't left the airport yet." So I wolf down my lunch, and I drive over there. And I'm driving up just as they're turning around with their sign and walking back to me. Have you ever been there when you're disappointed, you're late, and the chairs are, and it's like there's not even a punch left in the pulleys? That's how it is if it wasn't true. When they went there, that wasn't the case, was it? It was true. The baby was there. It wasn't an empty manger. It wasn't an empty stall. It wasn't an empty cave. They were there, and it was just as they were told. And that's hope. That's hope. Boom. It's a no-so hope because the Lord told them, they knew it, they followed it by their faith, and they were so jazzed about this, they told everybody that they met. And of course, they're Meshuggahs. That's Hebrew and Yiddish for "you're crazy." "You're crazy, what do you mean? You know, this is not true, you know?" But they said, "Oh no, it's very true." And I like this, a lot. Yep, and we'll talk more about this next week, how they responded to it. We want to build families here. Love the Lord Jesus, and so take time to listen to your children and grandchildren, and in turn teach them to listen. Encourage them to be quiet and just to listen. This is not easy. I recognize someone in your son. Every time I look in the mirror, it's I remember one Palm Sunday, my grandfather took me to the Mass, and they handed out those branches. Those were not branches. Those were bows and arrows. During the Mass, I'm going, whoosh, whoosh. And well, he died when I was 9, so it was 6, 7, 8, you know. And I'm doing this stuff because I couldn't sit still. And Michael, sit still. And my Italian name's Miguel. So I go, "Miguel." You know, and my grandma says, "Study," she says, "shut up." And, you know, I learned a lot of Italian that way. And so, but I was always active. And I told you a story, and I like repeating because but when my dad tried to get me to sit still, he cut my hair. He tried making models with me. That didn't work. Tried playing chess with me. I beat him too much. That didn't work. But cutting my hair worked. And this was in a day and an age where if they made a mistake, you were embarrassed. Today it's okay to have half your side shaved. But back then, I got a crew cut. I got flat top crew cut, and if I moved, he left it there. And of course, I was incessantly teased at school, because look at your stupid hair. Who did your haircut for you and all this? So guess what I learned the next time my hair was cut? Yeah. Now, how do you teach someone else? I don't know all the secrets, but I asked the Lord to tell you guys, and He'll tell you. Okay? But you got to start listening to yourself, because if you don't listen, will they? No. Now, what the story, which daughter was it that grabbed your face and said, Mommy, read my lips or something?
Three or four.
Yeah. But again, give them eye contact. Pay attention to them. Engage them in a discussion. That's what listening truly is. And they know if you're listening, you're in the, yeah, oh, that looks nice. You didn't even look at it. Yeah, I did. I saw it. Okay, what's in the upper left-hand corner? Yeah, I do that to test people. So anyway, teach them. Teach them to listen. And the best time to listen is, and Danny suggested this, to do the Christmas story at your family gatherings. Just read the simple story. Have them sit down quietly to listen. And again, it takes time. It won't happen overnight. Remember we talked about messy relationships last week? That goes with kids too. So, okay, we're pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you hear what the shepherds and angels are saying? Are you a peacemaker who sows in peace, raising a harvest of righteousness? Jesus is our Prince of Peace. How's your sowing going? I'd like you to look at James, if you can find your Bibles in James chapter 4, is it? Or 3. Chapter 3. The context of this peacemaker is really fascinating to me. And that's Peter, not James. That's why it looked funny when I started reading it. Okay, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Oh, the guy who talks a lot, who knows everything, right? It's not what it says. Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. If you're wise, you don't talk a lot. You listen a lot. Verse 14. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from down from above or heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and the word thereof, the devil's demonic. Verse 16, for where you have selfish envy and selfish ambition, there you have disorder, and that's the word for chaos, and every evil practice. So if we're not listening, if we're not paying attention, if we're trying to get our own way, being demanding and dictatorial, that is this side. We're not listening, okay? Verse 17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. It's unadulterated. It doesn't have mixed motives. Then peace-loving, seeks peace, considerate. That word there means I might be wrong. And I had to learn that the hard. I remember the first time I said that. It was embarrassing. Submissive, full of mercy and good fruit. Impartial, don't play sides, and sincere, not hypocritical. Verse 18 is the verse we want to look at. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. And you're looking at, he's talking about wisdom, and where does this peace come in? Well, wisdom breeds peace because we're listening. Exactly, I know, we're almost done. I'm convinced that if we are inhabited by Jesus, the Prince of Peace, we will bring peace wherever we go. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced that in the storm and the hail and noise of life, hail meaning hailstorm, that we can be that peace. When we pray the Francis of Assisi prayer that I've adapted, Lord Jesus Christ, where there's unrest, be peace in me. And it is fun to watch how he answers that, because there's all hell's breaking loose all around me and I'm just at peace. And this has happened over the years, but most recently something happened and I just was at peace. And it's fun as when people look to you, What do we need to do here? Well, let's pray about it. Why are we praying about it? Well, let's be quiet and pray about it. Let's listen for the answer. Maybe we haven't heard the answer, But I believe that our sowing of Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, will bring peace. You cannot make peace happen. Only he can. This is one of my favorite jokes here. The guy on the left says, "It's windy today." The guy in the middle goes, "No, it's Thursday." "Yeah, so am I," the guy on the right says, "let's have a drink." So they went from it's windy to Thursday to thirsty, you got it. And that's how some of us listen and some of us hear. And I can give you story upon story how I've misheard the Lord, but I had to get quiet. And for being someone who's very, what they call is ADHD, I guess, nowadays, you know, someone who's very active and nervous and drumming and thumbing. And I mean, I played the drums on desktops forever, played them on real drums, you know. I'm amazed that the scripture in Mark 5 says he's seated, clothed in his right mind. And I'm all three of those. That's one of my favorite passages. With that prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, I put you on as my shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. This comes from the armor in Ephesians. Ephesians, we put on, is that somebody we need to talk to? The Lord's calling. Hello. All right, Michael, stop now. And then the next part is, make me a peacemaker that I may reflect you in all I do. So where there is unrest, be peace in me, in your name, amen. Simple prayer. Think about what you want to pray. And if you want to pray this prayer, join me in praying as you stand. Together. Lord Jesus Christ, I put you on as my shoes, the preparation of the gospel of peace. Make me a peacemaker that I may reflect you in all I do. So where there is unrest, be peace in me, in your name, amen. Heavenly Father, you've heard the prayers of your people. Now send us forth that we may go from here to rise above the noise by being peacemakers. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.